Matthew 10:27. So if you would turn there, please. And before we get to that verse, I'm going to back up a little bit, because no verse is a good verse apart from the context that it is in. There's different types of contexts in the Word of God. There is the context that is immediate within the Scriptures and the discussion that is being had. Then there is the context within the principle of first mention and full mention. In other words, first mention is the most important mention in the Bible. Full mention is what it says. It is the complete thought in the Scriptures. So we look at a first mention, and then we go to the full mention to get a complete thought in the Scriptures. The historical contexts are important. How do you know what's being said if you don't understand why it is being said? And this is very important. We can't understand the Bible unless we can understand why God said something. For example, Isaiah was told to walk around, and his whole life he was naked for 2 years. Everything in his life, he was not allowed to put on any clothes for 2 years. Now, that has to be within a context, right? Because people could get very strange with something like that if they don't understand the why behind the what. The why behind the what is critical. Pastor Stevens always says, you don't know what's going on until you know why it's happening. The why behind the what is what the Holy Spirit does. The why behind the what. Sight may give me, or may not, but it may sometimes give me what. But only the Spirit of God can give me the why. And so as we divide the Scriptures, we want to find the why behind the what. And always examine in the Bible, in your own studies, what is it that is behind this Scripture? What is this Scripture actually saying? Believers read their Bibles very casually. They read it like it's a novel. Pastor Schaller, one time I took a class with him, and he said, read your Bible out loud and read it slowly. And ponder, what does it mean? I think Pastor Stevens was the master at this, in what Christians consider to be the simplest of verses, yet the most profound. For example, God so loved the world. Right? Who is God? What does it mean that He loved? And who is the world? But as you read your Bible, meditate and ponder, what is the meaning behind these verses? What is the context? What is the thought? And let the Holy Spirit bring life to the passage. Otherwise, you've just read pages of words and nothing more. But let's start here in verse 18 to give us some concept of the context. And you shall be brought before governors and kings. You're going to be brought, and the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to eventually do the bringing. You're going to be brought by the Holy Spirit before governors and kings. This is true. You're not going to even anticipate this. When I was a fairly new believer, saved only about a year or a year and a half, I took what our church calls a harvest trip. And we went to Venezuela. And we had been praying for a long time for inroads, because we were going to send a team, a pastor and his wife and a team, to Venezuela. And we had gone into Caracas and we were soul winning. And I'm not going to tell you the full story because it's a long story. I'll tell it to you sometime, but not right now. But ultimately it happened that we talked to the Justice Minister of Venezuela. He is the equivalent of America's Secretary of State. We didn't anticipate that day that this is who we would meet. We were simply handing out tracts and talking to people on the street. And one thing led to another, and we wound up in Venezuela's version of the White House. We didn't mean to go there. God just took us there. You're going to be brought before kings and governors for my sake, for the testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. A lot of people are afraid because they feel unprepared when they go in their leading or in the calling of God. A lot of people are afraid, for example, when they go soul winning. What am I going to say to people? How am I going to mess it up? Am I going to look like an idiot? Well, probably you'll look like an idiot, but no, you won't mess it up. Because, you see, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. So don't worry about whether you look like an idiot. Just open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit fill it. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. See, this was the persecution that was coming their way. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And that's, of course, talking about the Bema Seat. But in verse 27, I tell you in darkness that, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. See, this is how the life of the believer works. See, in Psalm 42, and starting in verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You see, this is what verse 27 is talking about. When the deep calls unto the deep. When the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart, it will be proclaimed. And this is why the message is given. Because the Holy Spirit has something to say. It is imperative, no matter what I do in my life, no matter where I find myself, that I find myself listening to the Holy Spirit of God. He is my counselor. He is the one that calls unto the deep. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us the things in darkness. And then it is the Holy Spirit who brings them to light. In this way, God is glorified. God is not glorified by my natural thinking and my natural evaluations. God is not glorified by my religious constructs where I try to put God into the box of my natural understanding of the Word apart from the Spirit. God is not glorified by my fleshly efforts. God is not glorified by human endeavor. God is not glorified by the worldly way of doing things. God is glorified when the deep calls unto the deep and He speaks in darkness. Why does God speak in darkness? Because in darkness is where He imparts His riches. There are secret treasures in dark places, and those treasures are the things that God speaks to the heart. A lot of things in the believer's life work that way. Both trials and blessings work that way. Trials work that way. When I am in a dark place, the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart. And He comforts and He encourages. He guides me in those dark places. He shows me the way that I should take. When the things come against me, His still small voice says to me, "This is my plan." His still small voice says, "This is from me." And so in the dark place, I learn of God as He loves me and gives me mercy for the difficult times of my life. Likewise in blessings. In the time of blessing, the deep will call unto the deep. The Holy Spirit will illuminate His heart in times when I am abounding. The Holy Spirit will illuminate His plan in times when I am abounding. But there is a reason why He illuminates His plan in the times of abounding, in the times of blessing. It is there to sustain me in the times of darkness. You see, one of the things that we believers don't really understand is that there's actually no difference between times of blessing and times of darkness. See, in Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I love that passage. That's one of my favorite passages. The reason why I love that is because an eagle soars. The eagle is the only animal that can look directly into the sun and not have his eyes hurt. We are as the eagles. We look directly into the sun, and our perception is illuminated by the sun, and we rise up with wings, and we soar over the mountain and over the valley. You see, there is no difference to the eagle if it is a mountain or a valley. He soars above both of them. In Isaiah 43, God gives me streams in the desert. Is it a desert if there is a stream there? Streams in the desert and soaring as eagles. And this is the deep calling unto the deep, where the Holy Spirit of God touches the heart of a man. And He shows him things in dark places. And then the man repeats those things in the light. What does that mean? You see, when I've gone through the trial, when I've gone through the fire and the dark places, oh, for me it may be a test in the moment, but eventually it will become life for another person. You see, the things that I have learned from God, I will then proclaim. Oh, the trial may not have been easy. It may have broken my heart. It may have crushed my capacity a bit. It only feels like it's crushed. It's just being expanded, really. By the way, your capacity will not be expanded apart from some breaking taking place. It must happen. We're not balloons, we're vessels. I have to be broken by God in order for my capacity to be expanded. You see, when that happens to the believer, and the believer goes through their dark places, I experience death for a season that you may experience life. And you experience death for a season that another may experience life. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But it is better for you that I be here. This is the same thing. We experience death and we impart life. As God breaks us in the dark places and the deep calls unto the deep, showing us the things of God. You see, the trial may look very difficult, and it may look very bleak, and it may look very overwhelming, and it may even look like a catastrophe. But it was brought by God. It was brought by God. Why was it brought by God? To enlarge my capacity. So that the deep could call unto the deep, and secret riches could be found in dark places, and so that one believer may die, that another believer may live. The Savior died that we may live, but He was the first of many brethren. We die in the natural man, in our natural understanding, in our emotions. We die in the world's wisdom, but then we live unto God, and we live in the Spirit of God, and we live unto His wisdom, so that others may live also. This is the plan. This is how it works. See, people are so afraid of what they don't understand. You know what? I never understand the plan of God. I stand on one foot and I teeter around. And you know what? I'll take it. I'd rather stand on one foot teetering around than on 2 feet firmly planted in the strength of the flesh. I don't know the ways of God because I am just a man. I only know that which the Spirit illuminates to my heart as He proclaims His secrets to the heart, and then we are able to proclaim them in the light, and we become life to other believers. Amen.